Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Oh, that's not Gunner Productions podcast.
Lady Mouth.
Hey ladies, guess what? On Lady Mouth today, we have a very special person named Kim. Hey, Kim, what is going on?
Hey, Mixie, how are you?
I am very good. I am so excited to listen to what you're going to roar about today.
Thank you.
Oh, you're so welcome. This is something that, you know, we should all be caring about. So what are you here to roar about today, Kim?
Okay, well, I'm here to talk about Moms Demand, Every Count, and Common Sense Gun Laws.
Yay. When I first said gun control to you, you said we don't say control anymore, which I thought was awesome because, you know, I thought about it and using the word control definitely makes, you know, Second Amendmenters be like, you can't control my guns, blah, blah, blah. Those are my rights.
Right.
So taking the word control out of it and putting common sense.
Mm-hmm, because they're common sense.
Exactly. I think that's so much better to turn it around like that and hopefully make more people aware and, you know, less violent gun deaths.
Yeah, because we don't want to scare the people. Like, we respect the Second Amendment. We're not anti-gun. So we don't want people to think that we're out to get their guns or want to keep going.
Exactly. I don't personally own a gun, but I would learn education about it. I mean, that's what I'm hoping here, to learn awareness education from you today and for everyone else to learn if they don't know. So why don't you start and tell us about Every Town and Moms in Demand Action.
Okay, well, I'm the lead group lead in for Upper Fairfield County for Moms Demand in Connecticut. And we are a nonpartisan advocacy group for common sense gun laws, as you know, and we aim to save lives while also respecting the Second Amendment. So we work together with Every Town. Every Town is the backbone of Moms Demand. They do the research. When Michael Bloomberg formed it in 2013, he came together with Shannon Watts, you know, the founder of Moms Demand, and they basically, you know, formed Every Town. They joined forces because he had a group already. He had Mayors Against Illegal Guns. After Sandy Hook happened and Shannon, and which I kind of would like to tell you about what inspired Shannon, it was actually, you know, I'm in Newtown, I'm in Sandy Hook. And after the tragedy happened in 2012, she was so deeply affected that she formed a little Facebook group of moms, because, you know, she saw that Congress wasn't doing anything. They didn't do anything after. And how could you not be affected by, you know, all these losses and young people lost to gun violence like that?
I mean, my kids were 6 and 4 at the time. So I'm like, oh my fucking God, you know?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And when I was a teenager, we had the first one, Columbine. I was 21, actually. And I remember my friend, you know, trench coats were such a huge thing for all my friends in high school.
Yeah.
And, you know, I was a goth clubber. Everyone wore a trench coat. But then, like, once Columbine happened, my friends started getting kicked out of malls and shit. And it was just so devastating. It was, like, that real first one. But
yep.
Shannon, Sandy Hook was even more devastating, I think. Just Sandy Hook killed me.
Yeah.
Probably, you know.
Yep. I mean, I was a freshman going into high school when Columbine happened. And I wasn't a mom when Sandy Hook happened, but I felt it so deeply.
It
always stayed with me, you know, until I was a mom, and then that even more, like.
And now your kid goes to Sandy Hook.
Yeah.
That's, how do you feel about that?
You know, it's hard because I see my kid's about to start first grade there. And when I look at him and I see how he is and how he's such a baby still, you know, it's like gut wrenching to think about.
Really is. My gut is wrenched just hearing you talk about it. And you even said that if you don't mind speaking about it, that week of Sandy Hook, or even the few weeks after that, you said it was like one mass funeral.
Yeah, because there were so many funerals a day that they would have multiple, you know, hearses going through town. And I was living in another town next at the time. I came over and I saw all the therapy dogs out, you know, in the Sandy Hook Center of town, and, you know, I was there to give my support. And I just saw like three or four hearses roll by, and it was, you know, it was pretty devastating. It never left my mind. I think that was like a big turning point for me where I did want to do something, but it wasn't till years later that I discovered Moms Demand Action. And Shannon.
Well, yeah, tell me about Shannon.
Yeah, I mean, Shannon, her Twitter, you have to go see it. It's great.
Okay.
She just has constant info and statistics. She's a very, very smart, inspiring woman. Shannon is a role model to all of us. I mean, we all kind of felt the call to action. I mean, even more so, like, I was watching her before I joined. I was watching her tweets. And then after Parkland happened, that was when I definitely joined, and I never looked back.
Yeah, now, may I ask real quick, what is the feel of Sandy Hook now, even 8 years later? I mean, is there still like a morose kind of quality walking through town? Or, I mean, do the people that unfortunately lost their loved ones, do they still live there? Or is the call to action more important for everyone?
Well, we have like a lot of very, very strong survivors here and in our group as well. Like, most of my leaders in the Upper Fairfield County group are survivors, and just to come back and do this work is amazing. They've been through so much, and they still want to help other people. But the whole, like, everybody in the town has changed for sure. I mean, when these kind of things happen, it just, you know, everybody's kind of on guard now. Like, you used to think that Newtown was the nicest town ever, like, you know, tons of open land, great schools, friendly people. And then this happened, and it's just like, now there's that stigma. Like, anytime anyone hears Sandy Hook, they're like, you know, but even with the security with the schools here, they're very much still like on guard. So it changes a town completely. You know, it's not the same.
Oh yeah, I'm sure. I mean, it's a town like it's a suburban town outside of the city. A lot of us live in suburban towns with our kids outside of the city. Like, it can happen in any school. It's just scary to think when your kids are going to school.
Yeah, and what Sandy Hook, you know, really did for all of us, like, it woke us up to the everyday gun violence that's happening in, say, like, 20 minutes from here, Bridgeport. Bridgeport's still having shootings every week and having huge, you know, like, issues with gun violence there in Hartford and New Haven. And, you know, I did a walk in Hartford last year in this one neighborhood that's very violent, where there were, like, multiple shootings within, like, such close proximity to each other. And it was so sad to see, because, you know, like, we never really knew that world until now.
Yeah. Yeah. When the world started, Columbine just put a new fear, you know, I think when it started with them. I mean, I grew up in New York, there's gun violence everywhere.
Yeah.
when someone just walked into a school because he was mentally ill and decided to use the tool he had for destruction, you know?
Yeah, I know. And it's just if you want your kids to be safe at school, that's it. You never think that this is going to happen.
It's going to happen. No, you don't think.
But on the upside of that, you know, we've done a lot of good work since.
Yeah, tell me about, how did you get involved? Is that your biggest cause in life? Gun control, common sense gun laws? Sorry.
Yeah, being a gun violence prevention activist. Yeah, it is. It's my calling. I mean, I felt it right after. I knew it before with Sandy Hook, but then once I really knew that there was a group and, you know, they were just as passionate, I joined Moms Demand, and that was it. Like, I've been there for a couple years now. I was a membership lead. Yeah.
Yeah.
I volunteer, you know, like, I've been to almost every meeting and every event and spent my own money even to set up and do things like that. We go everywhere and have our rallies, and we work hard.
I'm sure. Really? Tell me about it. Tell me anything you want. I want to hear all about it. And you said something about red flags, too?
Yeah, I'll talk about red flags in a second, but I also want to mention that, like, last year, we got together with other gun violence prevention coalition groups, like Connecticut Against Gun Violence, Newtown Action Alliance, Sandy Hook Promise, and we all basically advocated and lobbied for, and we kept going up to the State House. We must have went like a few times and testified, written testimony, all that for Ethan's law, which actually passed in Connecticut, has now, and that's a safe storage law. And the story behind that was the tragedy of Ethan Song and an unsecured gun that took his life from a friend's house.
Oh, so, wow.
Yeah, so now we have that safe, we didn't have that safe storage law that would hold the gun owners responsible for that because,
but
you know, at the time, there was no law for it. But we all worked really hard.
State? Yeah.
Yeah, in our state, we worked really hard all together, and we made magic. It went through, like, perfectly. So I feel like that's been our biggest triumph since when, like, I joined, at least, you know, because I feel like all the written testimonies and all that, we really worked hard.
That's amazing. No, and the best way to make change is to speak the fuck up.
Yeah. You know?
I mean, the politicians or the people working the laws and shit, they're not going to listen unless we don't shut the fuck up.
Exactly.
About anything we're in support of. You know?
Oh, no, and we met with some of them, too, and some of them that were, you know, on the other side, like, we have Republicans and Democrats that that believe in our cause, too.
Yeah, I didn't think it would be so separate as to party and party. Everyone owns guns. I have friends that own guns. All my neighbors own guns. I'm just not.
Yeah, we have gun owners in our group, so.
Yeah, of course you do, because I think proper gun safety should be taught more.
Definitely.
I even think teach it in the schools. You think that would be a good idea?
No. I don't think that guns have a place in schools at all, but I feel like
proper
education.
Yeah, proper education. I mean, I guess this, that was a dumb, sorry.
No, but like right now I meant
like there should be some mandatory kind of gun safety classes, you know?
Yeah, and what's going on with this pandemic right now is that, you know, like, since they're considered essential, these gun shops in most of these states, people are just going buying guns and they're not getting the proper gun safety education, you know? So that's quite alarming.
Yeah. I remember seeing the picture of like a few months ago of a bunch of dudes with guns, no masks, standing in front of some building protesting masks with their guns. I'm like,
what
the fuck are you going to do? Shoot a flu?
I know.
What's with all the gun purchasing and stuff?
The gun lobby likes to invoke fear into these people to profit as their presidents and whatnot of NRA. They're on the board. So the manufacturers are on the board and they're getting, you know, all the money from these guns. And so they don't want stronger gun laws because that will affect their profit in the end. So they fearmonger people into thinking that we're and other gun violence prevention groups are anti-gun and we're going to come for your guns, and it's going to be a slippery slope into tyranny. Like, they're going to eventually come for all your guns. So people get nervous.
They've been touting that argument forever. We're not coming after your Second Amendment, right?
I know.
Chill the fuck out. Just gun safety, gun licenses. We need licenses for everything. Why not, eye tests, psych tests for owning a gun? Why can't we have more stuff like that?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, and I'll talk about now with the red flag laws. They're also known as ERPOs, like extreme risk protection orders. That's what it's called in my state, but there's 20 other states that have these red flag laws. And if you go to onethingtodo.org, you can find all the states and you can click on them and there's a frequently asked questions page with steps and fact sheets.
Oh,
so,
wow.
Basically, if you want to obtain an ERPO, if somebody is threatening you with a gun or making you feel like they have a written threat, they said something to you, whatever, you can go to the police station in these states and obtain this order, ask for the order. And what they'll do is they'll go to the person's house and they'll temporarily take away the guns while this person is forced into treatment. And they don't get their guns back until they complete the treatment.
Oh, wow. I wish that was enforced more, and only 20 states have it?
Yeah, only 20.
Jesus Christ.
And the thing is, it's also, like, not just with domestic violence, but also with suicide. I mean, 90% of firearm suicide attempts end in death.
Yeah.
So, but what, as opposed to the four other suicide attempts that without guns that end in death. So you're just way more likely to die, and people constantly will make threats, you know, if they have a gun. It's kind of much easier, I guess, you know, they could just, you want to protect them too.
Yeah, I just think there's no, like, there should just be so much more education. Guns are a tool. They're not a weapon.
Yeah.
You know, we need to be responsible about gun ownership.
Exactly. You know? And educate ourselves on the laws.
Exactly. May I ask, why the fuck are gun shops considered essential? Because the money's behind it? I know it's all about money. I know everything's all about money.
Basically. And they'll sue if you do otherwise, like they've tried to do in some states over here. Not sure.
Really?
I think that they tried to do that in New Jersey when they said that it was gun shops weren't essential, and they sued them. And I think there is like a lawsuit going on right now. I'm not totally sure. I know that they will come after you. So
wow. And you have responsible gun owners in your groups. What do they have to say? You know. People who are, you know,
they don't believe the propaganda from the gun lobby. You know, they know that all we want to do is end gun violence, essentially. You know, we want to
Why do we need so many guns in this country?
It doesn't make us safer. More guns doesn't make us safer, because we have like the most guns out of any country, and look at us compared to Australia and even New Zealand and everywhere else, it seems.
Oh, exactly. Well, in England, even the police don't have guns.
Yeah.
In Canada, they have like 4 gun deaths a year.
And my friends from other countries just don't get it. They're just like, why? You know?
I don't know. It's so weird how America is just built on this, like, we always have to be in fight mode kind of thing.
Yeah. And it's a shame, because to us, it's we're a nonpartisan group. We accept everybody, you know, and it's not just, you know, Republicans, Democrats, it's mothers, brothers, aunts, sisters. You don't have to have kids to join us. You just have to believe in the cause and that we want to reduce gun violence and do whatever we can.
One thing I wanted to ask, I am a very empathetic person. Why do these gun lobbyists who don't want common sense gun laws or to help end excessive gun violence, do they even empathize with the people that lose lives over this? I'm sure you've spoken to people like who are all about their guns, you know? They don't care who dies? Like, is that what they're like?
Well, I don't know. I mean, I think that, I don't know if they're, you know, I feel like they're basically scared we're going to take away their guns, and they're not really thinking about victims because it never has happened to them. Unless a lot of people, in order to really feel it, it has to happen to them. Yeah, that wasn't my case.
Very
obviously.
American.
Yeah.
We can't put ourselves in other people's shoes unless we've experienced it ourselves. It's like,
exactly.
Guys, have some fucking empathy.
Yeah.
Like,
and we lack that.
Yeah, and you know, like, what, the NRA was at the Sandy Hook funerals probably, right? Or they wouldn't let them in. I thought I heard something like that.
I didn't hear about that, but that's odd. That would be weird. I don't know.
Yeah.
All I know is that...
like, the NRA tries to go wherever there's a gun shooting and make themselves present.
They'll do their rallies and stuff close by. They'll fear-monger with their rallies. Yeah, they even... in that Michael Moore documentary, he was talking to that old president or the old
Charlton Heston
leaders. Yeah, they were saying that he admitted that they do that. And that was even years ago at the beginning, and they've only got worse.
Yeah.
Over the years. They really have.
Yeah, they're just extremists. They should be terrorists.
Some people consider that, you know, I guess it's an opinion, but to us, like, and what happened after Sandy Hook, too, is that not even that kind of terrible tragedy could make change in Congress, because Ted Cruz was all boasting about how he led the Republican coalition against it. And obviously, he gets paid off by the NRA, too. So we tried to do universal background checks after that, and it got shot down, got denied. So obviously, it's like... And he's proud of it still. So I feel like there's a huge lack of empathy on his part. And I've seen how he's even treated.
Fucking even Mitt Romney has turned around during these times. And this guy's, right? I mean, I have different things, but I'm like, you know, lots of Republicans are turning around to what's going on now. Currently, it's like, why can't we just take a step back from your Second Amendment rights, which we're not attacking?
Yeah.
Just think about, you know, don't you lose people? Like, just the value of human life in America has gone down so hard.
Oh, I know, exactly.
So desensitized.
Yeah, it's like we're almost numb to it now that we hear it so much in the media.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, oh, it's another one. It's in Texas, or, you know, like when I was in D.C. once. I remember that there were two major ones at the same time in Ohio and I believe Texas or whatnot. But there's always like, it seems to be getting worse because the gun lobby,
they don't want to compromise.
They don't want to compromise.
I mean, I'm hoping the country is, you know, turning around in a more, let's elect officials, you know, that are more with human needs than money, capital needs. You know what I mean?
Well, that's what we have. I mean, we have a gun sense distinction for politicians and candidates. And if you go to gunsensevoter.org, you can put in your address and you'll find all the candidates that we've approved that have taken our questionnaire. And we can and have, you know, earned that gun sense distinction.
Mm-hmm.
So basically, they vow to keep gun safety, you know, and govern with that in mind, and to not take money from the gun lobby.
Good, good.
So, you know, before you vote, just go to gunsensevoter.org and check that out, and go see, you know, who's, you know.
Oh, I love that. Thank you for that resource. Every resource you're giving me during this episode, I'll have you give me so I can put in the show notes. So,
oh, definitely.
Yeah, I want to, you know, I mean, I can't really speak about it because I can't really do that. Pulse Nightclub. I mean, my biggest cause in life is LGBTQIA rights.
Yeah.
And mm-hmm. Pulse Nightclub, I was so just in shock. And so appalled and so sad.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I mean...
That was devastating.
Yeah, it was. And it just, not only was it, I mean, or the Baptist church in North Carolina that happened a couple of years after that, right? By the kid, I'm not going to say his name, right? That's the thing. We don't want to say their name.
Yeah.
Yeah. I heard that from one of my best friends who's an extremely Christian, responsible gun owner. You know, she's the one that told me, don't say their name.
No, no notoriety for them.
Yeah, no. But that kid is locked up or something right now. Right?
Yeah. Oh, that was really scary, too.
That.
I mean, it's churches, schools, concerts.
Yeah.
Like, where do you go to feel safe?
Movie theater in Colorado. Like, it's like, why? Yeah. And the gun lobby still doesn't seem to care at all.
No, it doesn't seem it.
Why? Really, gun lobby, what the fuck is wrong with you? If there's anybody who wants to come on my show that is all about the gun lobby and tell me why you don't give a fuck that people are being killed, human beings are being killed because you fucking love your dog better, come on and tell me.
Yeah, right?
Sorry. I know everyone says they like their dogs more than humans, but I'm one of those rare people that love humans.
Aww.
Yeah, I don't get senseless deaths. I never have.
Neither. And, you know, gun violence is a woman's issue because the most everyday, like, little mass shootings are considered, like, three or more that don't even make the news, that we don't even hear about most of the time, that are in the urban cities, are from angry husbands that, you know, kill their wife and kid.
Oh, well, I live near outside of Philly, and when I used to live in an area of Philly called Kensington next to Fishtown, which is, you know, like living in a kind of a urban area with a lot of violence, I guess. I don't know. I mean, when my co-parent and I moved out to come to the suburbs, someone got shot and killed in front of our house. I'm like, well, I'm glad we moved out the day before that happens. Like,
oh God.
I know, we were there 3 years, nothing ever happened. The day we leave, I'm like, oh my God. And I was pregnant too. I'm like, can you fucking imagine being outside my house and pregnant? And
that's
like,
awful.
I know.
That's scary. I'm sorry that happened to you.
Oh, no. I mean, I'm sorry. My ex-landlord had gun holes in his car. And it was such a peaceful block. I mean,
yeah.
Even though it's Kensington, they're cleaning it up now. But
also, you know, I know that you've asked before, like, about, like, my goal and their goal. And I like to talk about that, too, is that what we really want is changes on, you know, not just we like doing the incremental steps, you know, implementing these red flag laws and universal background checks in states, but we want to do it on a federal level because universal background checks on a federal level will close the gun show and internet loophole. And I don't know if you know about that.
No, but please go on with that because that I need to hear about it.
Oh, thank you. So, okay. So if we had universal background checks on a federal level, then that would close the gun show and the internet loophole. What that is when somebody goes to buy a gun, yes, they go through the background checks for them, but then they can turn around and go sell it at a gun show or on the internet, not requiring a background check from those people.
Oh my God, because they already got one.
Yep. And
so what does it take to get this on a federal level? I'm assuming it's been being tried for years now and just ignored, right?
Like, yeah, I mean, yep, they tried it with Sandy Hook and it failed. So it takes, you know, make sure you vote the right people into Congress. The gun sense majority, you know, the people that actually care about these things that aren't going to fight against it and vote no in front of victims and pictures of their perished children. We want to elect, like you said, leaders with empathy and knowledge and ones that believe in science even.
Yeah, I would love scientists to get fucking gun scientists.
Statistics?
Will the gun guys listen to gun scientists?
I don't know. They're not listening to our research. I mean, and I know back in the 90s, the NRA were a part of stopping government funding towards CDC research for gun violence.
I don't even know about the CDC anymore. They just kind of backed off about letting our kids not go to school.
Yeah.
So who knows what pocket the CDC is in now. So.
Yeah. If you want to ever look up the statistics too, everytownresearch.org has all that too, because they do all that. There are little backbone scientists. They go out and they see the statistics on local, state, and national levels. So.
And they study this.
Yeah.
And it's their job to report on that. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think more needs, I would think not just studies, because we're crammed studies down our throats. What other things for Moms Demand or Everytown or any gun violent activist group, how are you guys trying to step it up? Like, what about something where the NRA, why don't you buy ad on the NRA website for every town and have pictures of victims pop up every page? You know what I mean? Like, what about it's not guerrilla warfare. It's just like, here's this victim who died, you know? So.
No, I think that.
I don't know. That's a fantasy. What are you actually doing?
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
No, it's okay. I mean, when you think about it, it's like, would that actually, change their minds if they saw? But I really don't feel like it would. They have it in their minds. They're set in their ways, and they don't want to compromise and change. So we vote out anybody that they put money towards.
Yeah. I hate to be like this, but what about showing people crime scene footage? Photos of this actual stuff, you know? What if people have to see that? I just feel like, I guess, not even visuals are shocking to people anymore.
Well, they'll still make up excuses, you know? They won't ever blame that it's so easy to get a gun here, you know, that it's so accessible. They'll blame it on something else. They always find another way to blame it on, you know? And yes. The real thing is that in the U.S., it's way too easy to obtain a gun.
Yeah, it really is. Like, there's, gunshot in this area of Pennsylvania. It's pretty liberal here, but it's also, there's gunshot.
Yeah, and everywhere. A swing state, too. So you have both sides, and it, you know.
Yeah, it's weird, because Philly is, it's all blue, and, you know, you get, you know, outer areas of Philly where it's a mix, and then you get to what they call Pennsyltucky. You know?
Yeah.
So Pennsylvania is a weird state. It's weird.
Yeah.
So remember the phrase back in the day, guns don't kill people, people kill people?
Yeah.
How do you feel about that phrase? I think it's right on in that the message they were trying to say was it's a tool that a person uses.
That's a very good question. But my answer is, but without that tool, because it could they cause that much destruction?
Yeah, exactly.
So, they could get mad as they want and try to attack you or something like that. But if they have a gun, it's more likely that there are going to be, you know, other victims involved and it's more likely someone's going to die.
Yeah, of course. Like vigilante shit, you know, or
something
like that. Like I was telling you before, well, Eddie Izzard actually had a, let me steal from Eddie Izzard for a second. He goes, he addressed that line in 1998. He goes, guns don't kill people, people do. He goes, I think the gun helps, you know? And that's always been my, he's right. You're absolutely right. And that's why I'm glad you're here, because not only do I want to learn, anyone else who's curious.
Yes, of course. And I'm so happy to discuss it and to get it out there. Because, you know, like I said, people go through spouts of anxiety and depression anyways, and things happen in life. Yeah. But when they have a gun, it's like, besides using it for self-protection in the home and having it locked up, if they just have a gun, it does make it more likely that they're going to want to use it on themselves or someone else. Like, because we, you know, we're not always, we're happy today, but something could happen tomorrow.
Exactly.
And, you know, and... You just never know.
Exactly. I think people should know themselves and their psychological profile. And what kind of, has there been legislation to get psych profiles for gun, you know, registration and stuff like that? What kind of legislation is trying to be passed by you guys right now?
Well, I know right now we have the police accountability bill, and It's HB 6004, and it passed through the House of Reps, but the Senate actually votes on it today here in the state.
Oh, shit.
So what it does is it actually does require them to have their mental health assessed, to undergo periodic ones. Yeah.
Really? Periodic ones too?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's fantastic. So they're voting on that today. How do you think it'll fare? Does it happen federally immediately?
It's for Connecticut, but it's
just Connecticut.
Like I said, if it was federally, of course it'd be amazing, but that's way more of a challenge. We can only do so much right now in our states until we vote the people out that hold the power to,
Well, now there is a Moms Demand Action for the state of PA, and I joined that Facebook. It wasn't a Facebook group. I just liked the page so I could stay abreast as to what's going on. Mm-hmm. Is there a Moms Demand Action in most states?
Every state. Every state we have chapters and local groups. So you just go to momsdemandaction.org. And you can learn about us and join and find events, or you can text JOIN to 64433.
Oh, great. Awesome.
We even have, groups in Kansas that are very active, and they have, they have Republican politicians that are guns as candidates, and you'd really be surprised with the success we've had in recent years.
Really? And that's good.
Yeah, I feel like on a state level, we've done a lot, and, we should be proud of that. Even if nothing's changed on a federal level yet.
How does that road even start? On a federal level?
It's electing the right people in Congress. Electing a certain president that doesn't accept multiple millions of dollars from the gun lobby. Certain president.
I keep telling everyone I meet, I'm like, guys, I'm a New Yorker. Why didn't you listen to us? We've disliked him since the 80s.
Yeah, I know, right? It's what are you thinking? I know, I have, I have family in New York, and I'm not even going to get into it.
I know, we don't have to trash that dude.
But the thing is that, they even care about these issues too. And they really do believe it when you talk about it. When you speak to people, in the end, they really agree with the core issues and that we believe in with this cause too. They're really not against it. They want more laws to save lives.
Because these people are probably victims as well, and have probably lost people they love,
Yeah, nobody wants it to happen to them. They can imagine, they can think, it won't, but deep down everyone knows that it
we're
could.
Not fucking safe. You can't guarantee your own personal safety at any second of life. I mean, come on, I could die right now.
No, you can't take advantage of it.
Exactly. I'm not anti-gun, but, I'll never own a gun. But I'm not opposed to, I want to know all the education about it. I'd even go so far as going to a gun range and learning to shoot, provided I get to learn all the parts of a gun and how to clean them all and put them all back together. I'd want to be that thorough.
Oh, me too. Absolutely. It does fascinate me, the whole topic. And even how certain bullets can be completely unpredictable.
Really?
They just can ricochet and they can go all the way, they can turn around, they can go, So even there was one story, I believe it was either in the 70s or 80s that I saw that, this kid was at a gun range and somebody shot and it ricocheted all the way across, turned around and went all the way, really far away in the building and it hit him in the head.
Oh my God.
So they're all different, it's just, how do these things happen? It fascinates me too. I'd really like to know, more about that.
Yeah, of course. If I was going to own a gun, I wouldn't want to own one without wondering why I would want to own one. I'd definitely question myself hard,
Yeah.
And then I'd have to learn every little bit of a gun,
Yeah, and you'd have to keep it locked up. I mean, especially with children.
Yeah.
Just
I have kids, I have cats. That's, yeah, me owning a gun will never happen unless I live on my own without kids.
It's a big responsibility.
Exactly. I yeah, no, there's no way. Like, and my, you know, like I live next to a cop. My downstairs neighbors have, you know, it's single guys. They have, you know, I'm surrounded by gun owners.
Yeah.
And, you know, they're very responsible and they have their shit stored. I never feel not safe being around, living next to a cop or guys with guns, you know.
Yeah, but that did happen.
Yeah, exactly. But that did scare me, that story I told you about before. Someone a few blocks away at the bank on the corner of my house got hit a few times by the same dude. So this one guy was there and chased him with his gun all the way to the grocery store in the next town and shot him in the leg. And that guy got in trouble. I mean, the guy who burgled the bank got in trouble, but vigilante over here definitely got in trouble. You know, it's like, well, what the fuck are you thinking? You don't just chase someone with a gun.
No. And that's the thing too. It empowers people that, you know, wouldn't be empowered really without it.
Exactly. Let's talk about women and guns more.
Okay.
I know Moms Demand Action, even though it's called Moms Demand Action, it's not just female-based, is it? Or is it men,
too?
No. Okay.
We have men, just regular men. We have dads, you know, brothers, mothers, aunts, others.
Sorry. Brothers, mothers, and others. I love it.
Mm-hmm. That's what we say.
It's adorable. So, is there a balance of the genders for anti-gun violence? Or is it more like women advocating for this than men, do you think?
Well, I mean, obviously we have, I feel like most of the volunteers are probably women.
Yeah.
But, I mean, we have men too, and we also have Students Demand Action, which is for like the younger college students that want to get involved. If you go to everytown.org, you can sign up for that if you're a student and you want to become an activist.
That's awesome.
But, you know, it's for everybody, and I feel like we're seeing more guys join now
than
ever.
Good. See, now that's interesting because it was probably a bit more female-dominated at first, these groups.
I think in the beginning it was.
Yeah. And you know, why do you think that is? Is it because as women or moms, we are more empathic?
I think so. I think that after the Sandy Hook tragedy, I think a lot of the moms felt that. And women are naturally more empathetic and sensitive. You know, we look at our kids and we see, you know, we see the same and we know what can happen and what we'll lose. And you're just going to get that more often in a female. Not that there aren't men that are like that. Like one of the guys in my group is extremely empathetic.
Oh, yeah. No, it's just a generality. But I'm just saying as a whole before now, thankfully, more gentlemen are joining your cause. But, you know, I knew that it was probably a female-dominated area at first.
I think women in general kind of get a little bit more radical as they get older, too. They stop caring. And then kind of stand up more for what they believe in. And so that's what you're probably seeing more with the women.
I wonder if, you know, I bet there are women in there who are also victims of gun violence, even if they're still alive. And
We have survivors groups a lot of support for survivors. So if anybody ever, you know, has gone through that, violence, anything.
Yeah.
Even with, you know, something like your situation and you wanted to find comfort, we have survivor groups that are there for that.
And wonderful.
And they'll help you out and they'll, you know, and it gives you a place to talk about it too. We give support. It's not just, you know, the lobbying and all that. We're there.
No, that's wonderful because, I'm not just talking about like a mugging or something. I'm also talking about sexual abuse. I'm sure
a
lot of women can relate to getting raped with a gun in their face.
Oh, yeah. And they're considered survivors, too. I mean, you don't have
to
be, you know, physically impacted by it to have, you know, to be considered a survivor. It just has to happen to you in some way, you know, to affect you like that.
That's wonderful that Moms Demand Action offers support for women of gun survivors of gun violence. Are there any other great organizations out there that help with that?
Well, I know that in Hartford, they do have the group Mothers United Against Violence. And, you know, that's violence in general. They're there to support, you know, everybody that that has ever been, you know, deeply impacted by gun violence, too. We have coalition groups, too, that also support and you can go to for support as well. But, you know, like, I'm not sure of many other groups in this area that are doing that.
We could always research it. Do you ever think that's a step that maybe you guys should take then? Like, every town, like, make specific therapeutic group support groups for women. And they could be, you know, run by women who are survivors of gun violence. And,
yeah, well, I know every town has their survivors fellowship, and they have events a couple times a year for survivors.
Oh, so then wonderful.
It gives the survivors a chance to talk about their story and talk about changes made, and all their survivors do get together. I mean, we do have a lot of events that are just for survivors.
Oh, that's wonderful.
And monthly meetings. I mean, anybody could come in and say, you know, come next month to a meeting and say, you know, this and this happened and want to talk about it with us. And we're there to talk about it with them.
That's awesome.
So we are trying to do, you know, support them the best we can. And I think having so many survivors in my group has really helped that too, because, you know, they know what it's like.
Right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. How much have you learned from them? Oh my gosh. I bet you've heard some intense stuff.
I've heard, you know, like, I've learned so much about, just the will to go on, you know. Even my my friend Jen Lawler that lost.
I was just going to mention Jen.
Yeah.
All right, go on. Sorry.
Yeah, she's just coming back from vacation now, but she lost her daughter a couple years ago. She met him online, and unfortunately, it ended in gun violence. He wasn't who he tried to portray himself to be. She saw the signs. She tried to reach out to help for the police. That really wasn't, nothing was done there. And he had tried to kill other women before her.
Yeah. And when you showed me that article, I just, oh God, I was just so horrified. I mean, are there any, like, you said in Connecticut, the law that's being passed today was a police reform?
Yeah, police accountability. And, you know, Jen last week helped testify for this as well.
Oh, nice.
So she's been big on advocating for this bill. And, you know, there's a long list of what they'll have to do. You know, they're going to have body cameras and removes qualified immunity. And, you know, it basically just makes them accountable for their actions.
Well, this will also help with in the wake of our civil unrest right now and Black Lives Matter yep. movement too.
Well, that's what it was really inspired by too. It's like, you know, we see that there are a lot of
joining forces. Yeah.
Police violence is a gun violence issue too.
Exactly. Oh, this is good that every town of Moms Demand is you go every fat, you really do go in every facet of the gun.
Yeah.
That's amazing because,
yep.
And you guys are like the main group for doing all this, aren't you?
You know, there's other coalition groups, but I mean, it's like so national now, you know, like I have friends from all over the country and it's amazing to meet them and they're just like, everyone's the nice people you'll ever meet. So it's really been an amazing experience for me. It's been more so therapeutic than anything other in my life because I feel like I'm actually doing something. Yeah, making a difference.
Yeah, you're of course. Now,
and you know, I know they feel the same.
Oh, yeah, of course. It's like it's a sisterhood, brotherhood. You guys are all coming together, and I'm excited. When do we get to hear about this police bill for Connecticut?
You know, since the Senate vote today, I'm not sure when they're going to come back with it, but keep you updated on that.
Yeah, keep me updated.
I'm sure they'll pass it.
Mm-hmm.
It's Connecticut.
Yeah, it's true. They're pretty blue, aren't they?
Yeah, we're pretty liberal. I mean, even, you know, we have our Republicans, but they tend to kind of, they'll lean in our direction too. So they're not.
Yeah, yeah. Connecticut just, I'm like, isn't Connecticut so tiny and it's right up there in New York? You're like the Canada of New York. I'm like, what's Connecticut?
Yeah.
I'm just teasing.
You have some great gun laws, but.
Yeah.
Until we close that gun show loophole, we're still going to get guns in from states that have lax gun laws, like New Hampshire. You know, they come down and they just sell a bunch of guns out here. And that's the thing, too, is like, you know, the other side will try to say, well, you know, Illinois and Chicago have such strong gun laws. How come, you know, there's such bad gun violence there? But, you know, it's over 60% of guns obtained from criminal scenes there, crime scenes, are from out of state. They're from Indiana, Mississippi. All those states have lax gun laws. And it's because of the gun show loophole that it's completely legal for them to, you know, purchase them there and then go to Chicago and sell them. And they're untraceable. So a lot of crimes never get solved.
So now the Moms Demand in Every Town factions in those states, are they doing a ton of work to try to fix all that?
Oh, yeah.
Do you guys stay
constantly working, constantly.
Yeah.
Postcards to, you know, our senators. We work with, you know, we have a legislative team. I mean, awesome. We have people working on these things every day in every state.
Well, thank you. Because, I mean, we all have our causes. And we can't do all the causes we want to do. And I really thank you and the people of Moms Demand Action in Every Town and all the anti-gun violence coalitions.
No, thank you so much. I appreciate that. Welcome.
I remember in the 80s when I was a kid, HBO had this like half hour special and like, you know, where the kid finds the gun and then kills his friend or kills himself. That scared the shit out of me. I was like 5 or 6. I'm like, oh my God, what the fuck? You can kill yourself with a gun?
Yeah.
You know, and that's when I guess that first impression really just affected me my whole life. And I've always been a peaceful, stupid hippie. So I'm like, I'm okay without guns.
Yeah, because it's real. It can actually happen. It does every day.
Yeah, when you realize that, like, that should affect people more.
It should when they read the articles of like a little 3-year-old finding a gun and, you know.
Yeah, right.
Passing away.
Yeah, exactly. We don't want to hear stories like that.
We're sick of hearing them. We don't. We don't want to hear them anymore.
Exactly. Exactly. I mean, this is something that even though I'm not a gun person, I just don't know about. And that's why I want to hear everything you have to say.
So and a lot of people don't know about this stuff.
Exactly. Yeah. I want to be more proactive, right? Instead of just hitting like on Facebook, you know, maybe I could join an event once in a while
you know,
where I could stand up for that, you know?
Yeah. Get off the sidelines, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
If you're tired of hearing about it, you know, you'd be the change in this world.
Fucking exactly.
Yep.
Kim, I do have one more question for you, and it is the hardest question.
Okay.
Okay. Can you roar for me?
Sure. Let me try. Hold on.
That was a great roar. Yay.
Sounds like a bear.
No, that's cool, too.
Mama bear.
Yeah. Well, that's how I'm
a mama bear.
You are a mama bear. You could growl if you want instead. Maybe we'll make a mama bear logo for Lady Mouth, and she'll growl. Yeah.
Totally.
Can you growl for me too, then?
That was awful.
I
tried.
You did fantastic. Kim, I have to say, from every piece of me. Thank you so much. So goddamn much for educating me today and hopefully educating lots of other people.
Of course. My pleasure. I love nothing more than to talk about this and to inform the world. So
excellent. Please update. I'm going to look for that, the Senate bill myself. And you're welcome back here anytime when we start the weekly live stream. So anyway, ladies and dudes and anyone else in between who's listening and enjoying, thank you for coming and listening to Kim today. All of the stuff she's mentioned today will be in show notes. I'm sure she'll share her Twitter and,
definitely.
Yeah. We'll get to hear from Kim a lot more.
Yeah.
Thank you so much again. And you have an excellent fucking day.
Thank you for having me, Mixie.
Yeah.
Talk to you later.
Bye. Bye.
Hi, everybody. My name's Jess.
And my name's Ellen.
And we're from Murder in the Land of Oz, an Australian true crime podcast. We've covered such notorious crimes as Alison Baden Clay,
Backpacker Murders,
Anita Cobby,
and Azaria Chamberlain,
and many other crimes featured around Australia. You can find us on any podcaster app, such as Apple Podcasts or Spotify, or any other place that you get your podcast from. You do you, doll.
You just make the right choice for you. We are witty and charming, and we're a solid 4 out of 5 stars.
According to Apple Podcasts. Thank you so much, guys. We hope you join us on our trip around Australia. Bye.
That's Not Kind of Productions podcast.